Chapter 27 Conclusions. As a technology and public health measure, vaccines emerged from the 18th century Enlightenment project of using science to free man from the suffering and death that nature had always inflicted on him. In some ways, this has been a successful enterprise. In other ways, it has failed. The failures have largely arisen from a conceptual error that we noted earlier, namely, the unexamined assumption that medical science is akin to Newtonian mechanics. Here, it's worth reiterating that the causes of sickness and health, both in individuals and in large populations, are immeasurably more complex and multifactorial than most other objects of scientific analysis. A complex situation is inevitably riddled with ambiguity and uncertain outcomes, and therefore becomes a subject of opposing interpretations and debate. The key to improving vaccines is to strip the enterprise of all dogma, ideology, and vested commercial interests, and to place it squarely in the realm of scientific investigation. This objective can only be achieved by welcoming discussion and debate instead of censoring it. It also requires demanding full transparency from vaccine manufacturers about their products. The first step is to eliminate the cozy relationship between the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies it is supposed to regulate, a relationship exemplified by FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb being appointed to Pfizer's board of directors shortly after he left the agency in 2019. Serious consideration should also be given to rescinding the liability protection granted to vaccine manufacturers by the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. This law should be reevaluated. Those who do so should start their analysis by reading the dissenting opinion of Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor in the case of Brusewitz v. Wyeth, LLC, which pertained to this act. While the majority ruled in favor of the respondent, Wyeth, LLC, Justice Sotomayor opined, "Neither the act nor any other provision of federal law places a legal duty on vaccine manufacturers to improve the design of their vaccines to account for scientific and technological advances. Indeed, the FDA does not condition approval of a vaccine on it being the most optimally designed among reasonably available alternatives, nor does it, or any other federal entity, ensure that licensed vaccines keep pace with technological and scientific advances. Rather, the function of ensuring that vaccines are optimally designed in light of existing science and technology has traditionally been left to the states through the imposition of damages for design defects." We agree with Justice Sotomayor. In the absence of liability, vaccine makers are poorly incentivized to invest in improving their product's safety. Instead of receiving blanket immunity, vaccine makers should produce a thorough and transparent statement of the benefits and risk of vaccination, and this could be incorporated in an informed consent document that parents are required to read carefully and sign before getting their kids vaccinated. To be sure, this program could only work if an exhaustive and transparent investigation is conducted to determine what is causing the autism epidemic. If vaccine makers have nothing to hide, they should welcome such an investigation. Until this happens, informed consent is impossible, and millions of Americans will remain suspicious about vaccines. The business of vaccinating children and adolescents should always be governed by the principle of safety first, and never by reckless gambles such as the one proposed by New England Journal of Medicine editor Dr. Eric Rubin at the FDA meeting in October 2021. Sparing children from getting sick is a worthy objective. However, the benefit of preventing illnesses that are mild and manageable in most kids should always be weighed against the risk of vaccines causing harm. Conducting a risk-benefit analysis with full transparency is the only way to identify flaws in vaccine technology and to correct them. This is the principle that guided Japanese researchers in the 1970s when they developed an acellular pertussis vaccine to replace the original whole cell vaccine that had produced an unacceptable number of grave side effects. The trouble with the CDC's child and adolescent immunization schedule is that it is based on the false proposition that all children are essentially the same and should therefore all receive the same vaccines on the same schedule. As the neurologist, Dr. John Poling, observed in the case of his daughter, Hannah, some children may, due to their genetic makeup, be susceptible to grave adverse reactions to vaccines, especially when they are administered all at once. Vigorous research should be conducted to find genetic markers that may indicate such susceptibilities. Children could then be tested for these markers before they receive a battery of shots. In his seminal 1998 paper about the possible link between MMR vaccination and autism, Dr. Andrew Wakefield suggested it may be prudent to administer vaccines separately instead of combining them into one shot, such as MMR. The vaccine cartel dismissed the idea out of hand, but we believe it is worthy of further research and analysis. Wakefield also proposed that the risk of vaccination could be reduced by administering it a little later in the child's development. This, too, should be carefully researched instead of reflexively dismissed. We conclude this book by making two policy recommendations. First, we call on the Trump administration to remove the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines from the market. To reiterate, as of April 25, 2025, 19,403 American deaths reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS. Multiplied by a conservative underreporting factor of 30, 19,403 yields a nationwide estimate of 582,090 U.S. vaccine deaths. The Trump administration should compare this situation to the Ford administration's decision in 1976 to remove the swine flu vaccine from the market after about 25 deaths and a few hundred cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome were reported. On December 7, 2022, co-author Dr. Peter McCullough testified at a U.S. Senate hearing that the COVID-19 vaccines are unsafe and should be pulled from the market. On September 13, 2023, he made the same statement before the European Parliament. Since then, we have seen a steady stream of evidence that COVID-19 vaccines are unsafe and should be pulled from the market. President Trump recently acknowledged in a report published on the White House website that Dr. Anthony Fauci, his chief pandemic advisor in 2020, played a decisive role in concealing the true laboratory origin of SARS-CoV-2. The time has come for President Trump to acknowledge that Dr. Fauci also played an instrumental role in developing the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine program, which also involved multiple elements of fraudulent concealment. In 2020, under crushing pressure in the heat of the pandemic, it was perfectly understandable for President Trump to defer to the judgment of long-serving NIH directors Francis Collins and Anthony Fauci, especially given the president had no training in virology or immunology. However, now, 5 years later, it is no longer tenable for the president to maintain this dangerous program that has already been acknowledged to have killed tens of thousands. During the first 100 days of his second administration, President Trump has taken bold and courageous action against Washington's deep state corruption. His constituency will hold him in the highest esteem if he now takes similar action against the corrupt COVID-19 vaccine program. History will judge him harshly if he fails to do this. Our second policy recommendation is for the Trump administration to demand an exhaustive investigation of what is causing the autism epidemic. HHS Secretary Kennedy has already stated his intention to do this. He deserves the administration's full support and all the resources it can bring to bear on the investigation. Apart from the incalculable suffering it has caused for millions of children and their parents, the autism epidemic now poses a major threat to U.S. national security. If President Trump gives his full support to Secretary Kennedy's investigation and doesn't flinch from the truth of what it reveals, he will go down as the greatest president in U.S. history.